If you have your Bibles, if you want to follow along, you can turn to 1 John chapter 2. We're looking at verses 15 through 17 today. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Amen. This is God's word. These words of John are a second part of his aside. He's continuing on his argument of following God, of loving God, of who is truly in God and in Christ. And he gives us this very strong. He's moving from, if you remember before I talked about verbs and getting all geeky nerdy there, but the perfect tense of things, right? And how the perfect was something that's happened in the past, but has continuing, you know, and just that powerful picture of what Christ has done and the continuing effects of it. Well, Paul shifts here into what is called the imperative, the command. And it has a strong punch to it. And he says, do not love the world. Now, that raises some questions, I think. What is the world? What does this mean? I mean, we think back to what John says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Wait a minute. God loves the world, but says, do not love the world. Which is it? Well, what John is going to communicate to us is an understanding of the world and its nuance. And he's going to tell us three things we want to see today in these three verses. First is we have to look at what is the world? Okay, what does that mean for us today? What is the world? Two, what then characterizes, what is loving the world or not loving the world look like? What is it that we're talking about? What characterizes this idea of loving the world? And thirdly, we're going to look at why loving the world is wrong. Why we should not love the world. And the reasons or the motivations for us to not love the world. So first, what is the world? In verse 15, it says, do not love the world nor anything in the world. Now, as I mentioned, if we take this as an imperative, as something we must do, we have to understand what we're talking about here. Now, that word world, in the Greek, it's the word cosmos, right? We think of the cosmos, the everything and all that. And throughout the Bible, that word is very broad, had a lot of nuance to it. There's a lot of things that it could be talking about, all right? So I think first we have to think about cosmos in the light of, like, the natural world, God's creation. Psalms 24:1 speaks of things like the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Okay, that material, the things that God has made. You know, in Genesis 1:26, we see that when God created the world, he put humans as that special caretaker of creation, of the world. And so we see humans' responsibility that carries through to us today. So in that sense, the world as the stuff, as this, as the people, that is what, like, John 3:16 is probably talking about, right? Loving the world, that world of the people and God's creation in that, and that we know that God is going to renew these things, okay? Us as people who are Christians, who are following God, as we've seen here in 1 John. But the creation itself, God's intention is to renew all things. Right? Romans 8:21 tells us that God is going to, the earth is groaning because they want to experience the same renewal that we are going to experience, the same resurrection, so to speak. So the wrongness that's out there in the creation itself is going to be made new as it should be. And so there's that aspect of world we want to see here, okay? But that is not what John is talking about here, right? The other nuanced mean that John in particular uses and other places in Scripture is the idea of a couple of different definitions here. One is looking at the called the systems of human civilization and activity, which is opposed to God, and alienated from Him. Okay, so it's not the people themselves, it's not the creation itself, but it's those systems that those things that we put together or make of governments and societies and culture and all those kinds of things that are can be opposed to God in our fallenness are opposed to God. Another way to put it would be everything that prevents human beings from loving and therefore obeying their creator. Okay, so the world would be anything that would keep us from loving God, from having Him as the priority, the love, the true love of our lives. And that's what we're talking about here. It's a literal worldview, so to speak. All right? And so his worldview is one of don't love those things. Now, again, I think in trying to understand John's worldview this way, as he saw the world, he talks about a couple of different things. One, he sees like in his gospel, in John 12:31, he calls Satan the prince of this world, right? So we're talking about that kind of thing, that area of influence that the devil has in our world today. In 1 John 5:19, John is going to tell us that the whole world is under control of this evil one. The world, the systems, the natural course of life in of itself is opposed to God and in control of the devil. And for the Christian then, John tells us things like in John 17:6 that Christians are called out of the world. That these are Jesus' people that are taken out of the world. They don't belong to it. In John 15, 18 and 19, I want to turn there because it's really good. In John 15, starting at verse 18, okay, Jesus is teaching. He tells us this. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. See, we see that picture of the world. Those things, not the earth itself hates us, but the systems, the way things run in themselves are under control of the evil one and are opposed to the Christian. We are in this world, of course, we know that, but we're not of the world. And it's important then to remember that in speaking of the world, we're not talking about things themselves. All right, that's going to be important here. So things like, we can talk about the world, or like money, possessions, those kinds of things, it brings up the, and we're going to talk about this later, but the idea of boundaries. As Christian then, what do we do? Where are the boundaries? What should we, say is good and not good? What should we stay away from? And all of our, if our worldview in this case changes in Christ, then we have to filter everything through it. So the things we buy, the movies we watch, the books we read, the company we keep, all these things. And throughout time, Christians have taken different postures on this. And John is calling us to something here, but it's very strong. But we're remembering here again that it's not things themselves. If you have a Bible, turn to Mark chapter 7, because Jesus teaches us something good here about what this means. And in Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 14. So Jesus, he's teaching, and he called the crowd, and he says, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it was what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. After he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull? He asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods unclean. He went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of a man's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. That's the world. It's our hearts towards the things of the world, if you want to put it that way, that is important. It's not the things we take in necessarily. And so that's where we can be careful in thinking about boundaries, what's good and right, and you know, those kind of things. But if our whole goal is simply to make walls up, and then we're going to be safe. I'm just not going to watch any TV, and that way I'll be fine. Or I'm just not going to, you know, I'm not going to hang out with anybody else except for Christians, and then I'll be fine. I am not going to listen or read any books that are not written by a Christian author, and then I'll be fine. No, you know, you could take a human being and put it in the most perfect place, and we will find some way to mess it up. All right, it's not what comes in necessarily; it's what comes out. It's our attitude towards these things. And then, so John tells us that don't love the world or anything in the world, because the love of the Father is not in him. Our affections in this dualistic separation of things are either for God or for the world. They can't be both. There's no in-between here. I think that's the real thrust of what John's trying to tell us, that in our Christian life, there's no sort of. Any kind of sort of is away from God. You cannot be sort of. And that's the challenge of this word. Now, fortunately, John does give us a little bit of a definition here, right? In verse 16. What characterizes this world? All right? And he lists three things. Now, I don't think it's a comprehensive list necessarily, but I think these three things he mentions kind of go to the heart of what it is to love the world. And what do we see here? We see first, in verse 16, for everything in the world, okay, everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man. Some of your Bibles may say the lust of the flesh. All right? The cravings of sinful man. It kind of shows our, it points to our appetites. All right? Now, appetites aren't evil in themselves, are they? We get hungry. Hunger is an appetite. We have to eat. You know? We think of appetites of sex or of desire for control or power. Those things in themselves may not necessarily be bad, but our nature, so obviously, almost always demands a level of satisfaction of our appetites that in trying to achieve that satisfaction opposes God or puts God in a secondary role, which we're seeing here does not work. And so things like food, sex, comfort, influence, all these sorts of things, these cravings that we can have are the world. The world seeks these things. And we see that, don't we? The world is always pushing us, buy more. You deserve more. More food, more sex, more cars, more houses, more whatever it is. Satisfy yourself. You are the pinnacle of all that is important in this world. Satisfy those desires. Buy from me and you will be satisfied. We're left hollow. And in those things we forget about God. So that's the first thing, the cravings, our appetites. The second thing he mentions here is, in the NIV, he calls the lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes, that's I think that speaks to the temptation of what we see. The idea of covetousness, right? One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. Why is that so important? Because through our eyes, we see something and we are distracted away from God and what he has for us. You think of Eve. She saw the fruit and saw that it looked good. Think of King David sitting on his roof and looking down and seeing Bathsheba taking a bath. The lust of the eye he saw. Think of in Joshua when they were going looking to conquer the promised land, and Achan, they were commanded, don't take any of the spoils. And Achan saw these things and desired them and hid them and brought down judgment on the whole camp. It's that covet, our desire to want more and more and more. We see something and we are unsatisfied. That is the world. That's what the world wants to tell you. You deserve, look and see these things, and you should have them too. The third characteristic that John gives us then is, here it says, the boasting of what he has and does. So your Bibles may see pride of life. Pride of life. And I think NIV, in this idea of boasting what he has and does, is a good way to put it. It's the idea of glorifying ourselves, of being, looking to ourselves in our accomplishments, all right? It's elevating the self above God. Again, all these things are in the world would again, turn you away from the Creator himself. It's an idea of ingratitude. It's the concern of status or image or lifestyle that we put so much importance on. That we want to make sure we look good for others. That we don't want to be singled out as weird or something like that. And so we are boastful in ourselves, in the things we do. It's a very interesting scripture that the Apostle Paul talks about this. And he says that in two places, in 1 Corinthians 6:12, and also the same thing in 1 Corinthians 10:23, but in 6:12, I'll read this one. Paul says, everything is permissible for me. So he's talking about, you know, things we can do or not do. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And that I think that's the heart of what John is pointing to in talking about, you know, the world. You know, these things can be good. But we don't want to have them mastery. We don't want to have them take a place in our hearts that is not proper. And that's what we're told then to do in this imperative is do not love the world. Now, the question we have then is why? Why is this a big thing? Well, we're kind of hinting at it, but John gives us three things here on why this is important. The first he mentions in verse 15, he says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All right? Now, it's not talking about God's love for you. All right? God, you know, if we love the world, then God's not going to love us. Okay? That is not the focus of this. This it is that if we're loving the world, our love is not going towards God. If we are caught up in the things of this world, whatever it may be, then our love for God is not there. And if we're not loving God, then we are lost. We're not going to obey. We're not going to love our brothers and sisters. So that's the first one. The love of the Father is not in it. It's the same line of thinking that John isn't going, carrying us on through all this. If you love God, you're going to love your brother. If you don't love your brother, you don't love God. Right? So it's our attitude. And so if we translate that to the world, the things of this world, it's the same thing. If we are loving the things of this world, we are not loving the Father. The second is that these things, pride of, you know, boasting, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, these are not from God. These are not godly character. This is not God's heart. This is not God's focus. And so in doing these things, if we are focusing and being carried up in wherever it may be, that's not God's, that's not from Him. And we can then evaluate ourselves in this by where our affections go to. What is it that we think are important? What is it that we desire? What is it that we are really going for? You know, really want. I'm really saving my money to do this, that, and other thing, which is fine. But if that becomes all-consuming or takes away from your love of God, that's a problem. It's not from the Father. And then in verse 17, John gives us the kind of the ultimate reason. And that's this. These things of the world, the things that we chase after, whatever it may be, food, possessions, whatever it is, influence, people, the world and its desires pass away. There's that eternal perspective that the person who does the will of God lives forever. So there's really no, this is really a deal that is pretty good. You know, the idea is that we could have everything. You could have everything you desire in this world. All the money, all the status, all the power, whatever you want. You can have it all. And without God, you have nothing. That's what this is saying. Without, you could have it all, and it's nothing. It's going to be gone. But in this world, if you have nothing, if you have none of these things, even if your health is gone and you're penniless and it's all gone, but you have God, you have everything. Right? That Romans 8:21 tells us we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And so John is telling us, don't look at these temporary things that are just going to be gone, like a breath. Look to God. Look to Him and what's eternal. That is what's important. That is what will carry you in these things. Don't love the world. Now, okay, so we've defined it all. We've kind of seen what John's speaking of here. What do we do with it? All right, what do we do? And throughout the centuries, Christians oscillate wildly in how to apply these sorts of things. Again, it comes back to the idea of boundaries, possibly. Now, again, so some take it. You know, literally there's been times in the past where, you know, Christians just isolate themselves, right? We're just going to have our own little community. Or even as individuals, you know, one of my favorite things I remember from church history are there are certain these monks, these guys, and they would literally to keep themselves from the world and not be tempted, would sit on top of a pole just so that they could be away from everything. You know, and everyone thought, oh my gosh, that is so amazing. They come and, you know, just see them. They want to be so isolated. They just, I don't want any temptation. I'm just going to literally sit on top of a pole and then no one can get to me. Or even Christian communities they just get together and they have their own little place and they don't have anything to do with anybody else. So old Christian communities and, you know, my family kind of went through that sort of thing, I think. That's really what they did. They had this Christian community. They were trying to be, you know, biblical and always just trying to separate themselves from the world. We just don't want to have anything to do with it. And, you know, then they just, you know, buy Christian books. They you know, try to just buy their food from Christian people and, you know, and get their milk from a Christian cow or something. I don't know. But so is that what we do? Because then the question, then other people say, well, then how is the world going to know about Christ? What about the mandate to go? And spread the word. See, so what do we do with these things? How then do we keep ourselves focused in the right places? Now, the word, the biblical word we use here is holy. And remember now, what does holy mean? It means separate. That's what it really means. It means totally other. So God is holy means he's just so separate from us, so to speak. And then we are called to be holy. We are called to be separate. Israel, when God was reaching out to men, humankind, called them to be separate from the nations around them. And now, as Christians, in the era after Christ, we are called to be separate from the world. Do not love the world. Be separate from the world. Does that mean then just check out? Here's the answer. Ready? I don't know. I'm not 100% sure how this goes, right? It's hard. Because we have to live. We have to... What do we do with these things? And the danger that we can fall into is being judgmental or thinking high of ourselves. We fall into the boasting. Yeah, I'm not boasting in my life, but I'm boasting how whole I am. Or I'm boasting how separate I am. And that's the same problem then, isn't it? So we have to ask ourselves questions. That's on a daily basis. And that's why community is so important. That's why together we can kind of try to figure these things out. You know, how does our lifestyle, our choices reflect our love for God? Ask yourself that. Are the things you're doing reflect a love for God? Are your goals in life, your ambitions, which are great. You know, I mean, I want to get a good job or whatever it may be. Are they rooted in a desire to please God? You know, it does fall into the issue of what we intake, of media, the things we read, the things we see. It does. The imperative here really does call for a separatism. It really does. I can't get around that idea that God wants us to be separate, that there are boundaries. There is an us and them. But how do we do that then in a world where we can love others, where we can rub shoulders and show the love of Christ and expand God's kingdom and yet not get taken up into it? That's the challenge. We don't want to be taken up in the worldly values. We see that even in churches, values of power, of influence, of elevating the self, of putting down others. We don't want to be caught up in these things, of being concerned with money or possessions, but having God know our heart. That's what's key. And again, as Christians, we often try to go to extreme examples. You know, I was Bible college. We had this kind of a revival sort of thing, and a guy got up, and he was just so distraught. He thought he's just not following God, and he had this beautiful guitar. It was actually amazing. It's like a $3,000 guitar. Okay, it's amazing. And he said he was so distraught. He thought, I'm not following God. And on the stage of this play, he took his guitar and he smashed it. And everyone, you know, and the guy said, oh, that might not be, you know, I mean. Yeah, maybe for his heart it was fine, but is that the, you know, do we just destroy everything? I don't know. But as we saw earlier, it really comes down to not so much. Now, there are some things we do are clearly, you know, we stay away from, right? Don't hang out with murderers. You know, we just don't want to be part of that. You know, don't, you know, hang out with people who are just mean, you know, or bullies or speak badly. You know, we don't want to be part of what they're doing. That's the key. But it's our hearts. It's not so much what we take in. It's not what comes in. It's what comes out of us. And so in this world, as we're doing things, it's not so much the job you have so much as how do we respond? What does people see in us? And this word to love is important because love is something we can choose to do. We can choose to love something over another thing. I'm choosing to put my time, my affections in this direction rather than this direction. This imperative, do not love the world or anything in the world, is a tough one because we have to live in this world. and our attempts to be separate often conflict with just having to have a job or get by in this life. So at the end of the day, what we need to, I think, do is, again, together, remind us what's important. We did that this morning with this meal. This helps us to center us. What is important? And then just continually ask ourselves, is this where we are, God? You know, it can be something, you know, if we find ourselves slipping or just kind of, oh, you know, this movie's really good. It, you know, and maybe it is. Maybe a movie, it's great, has a good message. And, you know, there's just a little bit of nudity. You can get by that, you're fine. Okay, well, you know, I mean, those are the kind of questions that we have to deal with each other with. And if we're not willing to just put it aside, then, like I said, the love of the Father is not in us. The love of the Father is what's important. So yes, we want boundaries. We want to be separate in all we do and say. We want to have a clear conscience before others and God, and show the world that's under this influence that there is something better. That is better to be in Him. It's better. So we don't love the world. We're in it, but we love God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that by Your example, You were sent Your Son completely into this world. That Jesus took on flesh. That He experienced the desires that we experience. And showed us the way to be in this world and not of it. Lord, help us to take that example to heart. To love You, that in our heart of hearts, in our desires, our motivations, that we would seek You. That the question always be, you know, we're going to eat or drink or buy or take part in, that we could ask the question, is this loving God or is it loving the world? Turn our hearts to You, we pray more and more, and I thank You for how good You are to us. Lord, may we honor You in loving You and not this world. Amen.